genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
It's 33 past the hour. And this hour of the Steve Gruber Show is brought to you by Mesa, good health, good business, and great schools. As always, we want to hear from you, and our number here is 888-900-9966. I'm Katie Hyde filling in for Steve Gruber. I'm looking at an article from the Triad Business Journal, and it says this: the anticipation is over. The Federal Reserve decided Wednesday that it was time to raise interest rates. The Federal Open Market Committee unanimously voted to set the new target range for the federal funds rate at 0.25% to 0.5%, up from 0 to 0.25%. It's the first time there's been a rate increase since 2006, and the hype around the hike has been intense. With me on the line to help break this down and help us understand this is U.S. Representative Bill Huizenga. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Katie. Good to be with you.
Good to have you here. Now, what does this mean? Can you help us understand this and break this down?
Well, we have gone into an era of artificially low interest rates through something called quantitative easing. And I chair the Monetary Policy and Trade Subcommittee, and I've been trying to unravel this in my own head for a very long time of understanding exactly what the goal is, which is to kickstart the economy, but disagreeing with maybe the cure on how to do this. And what the Fed finally did was take a step towards normalizing interest rates again. And I think that's a positive. And frankly, if they had not done this, there would have been a bigger surge in the market of confusion and upheaval than if they had actually did what they what they actually just did the other day and moved forward with this. So what this means is that there's going to be the lending rate between banks is what's going to be the sort of the immediate effect, but it is a very small sliver. And rather than having a ramp up that's predicted, which used to be what it is, it looks like they're going to do this one small step and then just kind of wait and see what's going to happen.
And you mentioned normalizing interest rates. So what kind of impact does that have to the everyday guy that's rushing around, taking his kids to school, going to work, living life? What kind of impact does that have on them?
Yeah, there's two sides of that. One is interest rates, potentially interest rates that we all pay for, whether it's a car loan, our mortgage, credit card interest rates, anything with an interest rate, right? It looks like that will be fairly small, if any kind of impact there, because that really what we're talking about is this Fed funds rate, this rate that the federal government and banks use to lend money back and forth. The other side of this is the investment. As we all know, especially folks that are older and lived on fixed income, they have seen horrible returns on their investments. Bonds and those kinds of things. So we may see a little uptick in that, but again, this is a pretty small move in the marketplace. But I think it's just a trend or a step towards just returning to normalization, which it needs to be a key goal here.
If these are small steps, what are some of the future moves that we might look at as well?
Well, traditionally what the Fed used to do is they would have this be a series of steps either up or steps down. And that's what we saw starting in 2006 was a ramping down of those interest rates. The difference now is that since we've been in this artificially low era, there's a lot of debate about what direction we should go. And frankly, this is the first time in sort of modern economic era that we've been going in opposite direction where the rest of the world is. The Japanese Central Bank, European Central Bank, China, they've all been dropping their interest rates, and we are now bucking that trend and bringing it back up. But rather than having this ramp up or this ramp down, it looks like our Fed is going to take one small step, this, and then just sort of wait, see what happens, if there's any kind of impact domestically or internationally. So I would expect that there's going to be a lot of talk about this on Wall Street, because those small moves affect those guys in New York way more typically than it does sort of us on Main Street. And we got to make sure that we're not focused on what those guys on Wall Street want. We need to make sure that we're focusing on what the people on Main Street need and what's going to be the most healthy thing to do for our economy.
Congressman, we were speaking with your colleague yesterday on the show, Congressman Tim Walberg, and he was giving some of his thoughts on the budget bill. And to him, it seemed like a bit of a mixed bag. He said that you got some of what you being Republicans, or he said we got some of what we wanted, but not everything that we wanted. And I'm wondering what your takeaway is on the budget.
Yeah, ugly. And unfortunately, what we're dealing with is a mess that Speaker Ryan had no hand in creating, but it is his responsibility to clean it up. And that's a frustration for a lot of us because we have not gone through the regular order, the way that constitutionally things are supposed to happen. And a lot of that centered on the Senate. Harry Reid had said there was no chance that he was going to allow House appropriations bills to move forward in that regular order. And so here we are stuck at the end of the year with this choice of either not funding the Defense Department, not funding our Homeland Security, not funding all these critical things that need to happen, or moving forward with this compromise bill. And there were a couple of good things for us in Michigan. Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund, what dredges our harbors and keeps the pierheads maintained and that kind of thing. That's something I've worked on long and hard for a number of years. We have secured agreements that they're actually going to use all that money for harbor maintenance. It's amazing. They used to raid that fund and use it for other things. There's some very important agricultural issues that are addressed in this. There's a number of, I would say, important but kind of lower profile things like that that are in it. But at the end of the day, we're dealing with a pretty ugly document, but I'm looking to try to make sure that as we move forward in a Paul Ryan speakership and with his leadership, that things are done a very different way, and that's his desire. You know, he's had 6 weeks of cleaning up basically what was a 10-month mess preceding it. So it's going to be tough, but we've got to figure out a way how we're going to return to regular order.
And Congressman Heising, just briefly, what kind of job do you think that Speaker Ryan, how do you think he's doing there? What's your assessment?
Yeah, again, you know, he stepped in at kind of the last minute to do this. But here's what I always say about Paul. Nobody knows the issues on a deeper level than he does. As a former staffer, as a backbencher, as someone who chaired the Budget Committee and the Ways and Means Committee, he knows the federal budget inside and out. Secondly, he's a strategic thinker. He's the type of guy who's playing three-dimensional chess, trying to figure out how to move things around and maximize his advantage. The third thing, though, is he's a good communicator. He's not afraid to go out and talk to the people who may be blasting him or may be disagreeing with him. And that, I think, has been vital as well, as we've been lacking communicating what that House vision and what that Republican-conservative vision is.
Congressman
and,
Bill...
the guy to do that.
Congressman Bill Heising, I hate to cut you off. It's always a good
That's
chat.
Right.
Thank you so much for joining
Thanks,
us,
Katie.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's 7:41. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.